We're back with another episode of Brick House. I'm your host, Bob Johnson.
And I'm Matt Baker. Bob, we could have a permanent third guest host here with David Blatt out of a job. If we're ever looking to expand, I think he would be the perfect candidate.
Yeah, I think he's going to get a lot of calls this week. But, maybe if we find a nice way to word a voicemail, he'll call us back.
A quick David Blatt question before we really get into all the Blattness.
Yeah.
What does he do? Where does he go from here? Does he have to go back to Israel? Does he get an assistant job in the NBA? His hiring was so interesting, and the drama surrounding him once they had LeBron was so interesting. It's almost like he might not be in the NBA ever again. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. A lot of other NBA coaches are definitely endorsing his viability and him deserving another shot in the NBA. On NBA Reddit, people are trying to guess or suggest the best places for him to land.
San Antonio.
The most common one actually was the Minnesota Timberwolves, which would be interesting because he was originally hired to help Cleveland coach young Kyrie Irving, rookie Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah.
Have these young players that, given his resume, he would come in and demand the young players' respect. You know, the carpet really got pulled out from under him when all of a sudden, oh, now you're supposed to coach LeBron James
and Kevin Love. Yeah.
The super team,
right?
Having been being an NBA rookie, essentially. So I think it would be the ultimate comeback for him to go from Cleveland to Minnesota, teach Andrew Wiggins how to be a superstar, and then, get their revenge against Cleveland.
That would be amazing. If Cleveland, who knows, Cleveland could win this year, they could win next year, but the Spurs and the Warriors are so good that potentially Cleveland might not win a championship over the next couple of years. So if Blatt goes to the Timberwolves and builds the Timberwolves up to where they are an actual title contender, that would be amazing.
Just to give you an idea, people have been posting the David Blatt's career wins and losses with Cleveland.
Yeah.
He was 83-40 in his whole year and a half there, right?
But
they started 19-20 their first season. So since that midway point last year, if you exclude the six playoff losses,
70-20 or something
I think they're 63-14.
Yeah.
In their last however many regular season games.
Jeez.
And that got him fired. What's also funny is who's going to coach the All-Star game now?
Right. Yeah.
The NBA, I just saw, announced that if Cleveland stays in first place through the end of the month, then it will be Tyronn Lue as the coach of the All-Star team.
Wow.
It can't be David Blatt because, from a quote from the NBA, he doesn't have a job in the NBA. You have to, according to the rules, you have to work for the NBA to be the head coach of the All-Star
game. The All-Star game bylaws. We'll touch on All-Star game later. That circus in and of itself. But
Brian Windhorst was sort of breaking this story. I think Wojnarowski, as usual, actually broke the story.
Right.
But Windhorst for ESPN is their Cleveland correspondent.
Yeah, he is. And he's their LeBron correspondent.
Yeah, he's known LeBron since he was in high school, and some of the quotes that came out from him yesterday included LeBron was not consulted on the decision to fire David Blatt.
Sure, which, we'll go with that.
Which I thought was ridiculous and prompted me to come up with a whole list of some of the biggest lies in history.
Yeah.
And how they were spun.
The one you tweeted.
Oh, yeah, what I tweeted. Yeah, we didn't know those blankets had smallpox. Some of the other ones I thought were, kind of appropriate comparisons was, please accept this wooden horse as a gift. We're good now, right? but still, Iraq totally had WMDs. Or, hi, my name's Lance Armstrong. I'm naturally great at riding bicycles.
After cancer. Yeah.
Hey, guys, look, we found India. Free train ride to the synagogue. That was not true.
Ugh.
Similarly, tired of Africa? Free cruise.
Oh, jeez. Those last two got real quick. Tired of Africa, free cruise.
If you like True Detective, you'll love season two.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Burn. Yeah, he had to have been consulted a teeny tiny bit if not the whole time.
Yeah, another quote that Brian Windhorst tweeted was, you know, through all of this, the only supporter that David Blatt really had was Dan Gilbert. You're just like, what the fuck are you talking about?
That is real weird.
Yeah, we fired our coach today. It's kind of unprecedented since we're in first place. He's going to be the Eastern All-Star coach. You know the only guy who didn't want to fire him? The guy who has the final say.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
Well, with the All-Star coaches, you were talking about how Lou might coach. The other thing they were talking about, how Kerr can't coach because you can't coach back-to-back years. And now Kerr's back, so Popovich is going to coach. But they were saying it would have been interesting if Kerr didn't come back, if Luke Walton was still the coach, would he have been eligible to coach the All-Star game?
Yeah.
So we could have had a Tyronn Lue versus Luke Walton All-Star game battle.
Yeah.
Right, wow. Up there with Drake versus Kevin Hart in the celebrity game, in my opinion.
Tyronn Lue, Luke Walton. You know, for a long time, people always gave Phil Jackson shit for saying that his protégés never really succeeded in the NBA.
Yeah.
But now there's this whole new crop of them coming up.
That's
with,
right.
With those two. Yeah, so how close are Tyronn Lue and LeBron James? Well, they've known each other since LeBron was 17 years old.
Mm-hmm.
In 2007, when the Cavs were in the finals for the first time versus the Spurs, Tyronn Lue got invited to this Nebraska fundraising golf tournament because he played at Nebraska.
Right.
And LeBron really wanted him at the finals, so to make sure that he could be there, he flew him to the finals in a private jet for Game 3 in Cleveland, then flew him to the golf tournament in a private jet, then back to Cleveland.
Wow.
For Game 4. Brandon Haywood, actually, just yesterday when this Blatt news came out, did an interview on Sirius Radio.
Uh-huh.
And was talking about, you know, what the locker room was like because he played his last year with the Cavs.
Yeah.
Last year.
Right.
Not on the team this year. He was saying that when they would watch game film, Blatt would call out players for missing a defensive assignment, not getting back on defense, that sort of thing. And then there would be, on the video, LeBron James making an obvious mistake,
mm-hmm.
and he just wouldn't say anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, Haywood was saying that over time, this is just chipping away at the respectability.
Morale, yeah.
that David Blatt controlled, you know, if he's not going to call people out. And then I saw that, you know, just the other day, Griffin was the Cleveland general
David
manager.
Griffin, yeah.
He was in on a film session and actually called out LeBron James for not getting back on defense, which even drew even more attention to the fact, you know, that it was not the coach doing that.
Yeah,
when he should
be GM or the president, whatever Griffin is. Well, last night the Cavs played and got beat by the Bulls pretty bad. They only had 80 points or something.
Oh yeah, the first game.
And the fans were booing them. But the other thing was, at one point LeBron went to the bench. Did you see this? Didn't like the seat cushion on his seat, and had Tyronn Lue get up and give him his seat cushion and switch seat cushions with LeBron. This was an actual video I watched on ESPN on SportsCenter this morning.
It's like, wait, Lou, you're not supposed to be sitting in the head coaching chair.
Yeah.
That's my chair.
Yeah. To which the ESPN anchor, I think it was Linda Cohn, said, NBA players get cushions on their seat. You don't see that in hockey. Like,
yeah. Did you see Rick Carlisle said he was it's a disgrace that this could happen to somebody in this league? Stan Van Gundy supposedly texted Eric Spoelstra and Steve Clifford, the coach of the Hornets, just saying, like, you know, the only reason this isn't us is because our front office isn't as crazy.
Yeah.
You know, but this could happen to anyone.
It
is essentially the point.
It makes me not want the Cavs to win this year.
Lee Ellis of the Starters, the Australian guy out of the Starters, tweeted that Tyronn Lue essentially did to David Blatt what Allen Iverson did to Tyronn Lue.
Yeah. I saw a picture of that. They switched faces on the picture of him stepping over. Yeah.
In other coaching news, though, Steve Kerr made his debut for the Warriors on Friday night against the Pacers.
Never thought that Steve Kerr's return to coaching would be completely overshadowed. If the Cavs couldn't beat the Warriors on the court this year or last year, they're going to beat him in the headlines, that's for sure.
Steve Kerr is definitely winning in my mind for the comedy one-liners. Here's a couple of Steve Kerr quotes in the past 48 hours. He told Ethan Strauss, the Warriors beat writer, that he planned on sending an I'm back fax, just like Michael Jordan did back in the day.
The fax, that's great.
And that he said, on Luke Walton, he said, I thought maybe he'd be 40-3, but 39-4, I guess I'll have to settle for that.
Yeah.
And then he said, you know, the only reason I'm making the comeback now is to make Popovich spend his all-star break at the game instead of on some beach with the Mai Tai in his hand. So Steve Kerr, he's got some great humor chops.
I didn't even think about that. Pop probably hated the fact that he has to go coach the all-star game.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Him and Kawhi Leonard, that would be like
yeah,
a real talkative duo.
Oh, yeah.
What's the deal with a trade between the Clippers and Rockets, my two favorite teams?
What?
Josh Smith is back. He's been traded back to the Rockets. My dad, who was a guest on the show, called him a bad penny, you know, that
yeah.
just keeps on turning up. But I think it's possible to say at this point that Daryl Morey is just showing off on how he can get former All-Stars for players he owns the right to who will never play in the NBA.
Did this actually happen?
Oh, yeah. Josh Smith was traded to the Rockets for the rights to Sergei Lyshuk.
How did this is not a joke.
This happened yesterday, and then the David Blatt stuff.
I didn't see this at all.
Yeah.
This is a thing that happened.
David Blatt really overshadowed everybody yesterday.
You're breaking news to me on this podcast. Rockets acquired Josh Smith from Clippers. I'll be darned. Here it is. Marty Luonen. And Sergei Lyshuk. Oh yeah, they got a steal here.
If you've lost track, Sergei Lyshuk, or however you pronounce his name, has now been traded in the NBA 6 times, and he has played zero NBA
games. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Daryl Morey announced the trade with the hashtag #BandBackTogether. I'm sure we're going to be hearing all about how fucking Josh Smith and Dwight Howard were AAU teammates again.
Were they?
Dwight Howard was the best man at Josh Smith's wedding.
You want a quick Sergei Lyshuk transactions? I'll give you some.
Oh, please.
Okay, the first time he was traded, well, he was drafted by the Grizzlies.
Mm-hmm.
So there were 2 trades before where the pick that he became was traded. We won't talk about that. It says in 2014 he was traded by the Rockets again. I don't know how he was traded.
No, he went from the Rockets to the Lakers, from the Lakers to the back to the Rockets.
Okay, so then he was traded by the Rockets to the Sixers as part of the Corey Brewer, Turioff, Alexeyshev, Troy Daniels.
Right.
And then he was traded by the Sixers to the Clippers for Jared Cunningham and Senek Akyol, and then now he's back on the Rockets. You know, it's hard once you fall in love with someone, Bob, it's really hard to let them go.
So he's been traded 6 times, and 5 of those trades included the Houston Rockets.
Yeah. Well, when you like someone so much, they don't like him enough to actually bring him to the club.
No.
But, you know, they like him.
Yeah, over the last 14 games, Josh Smith had 10 do not play, did not play.
They are do not play. They are firm instructions of do not play. You got it right.
I mean, when I was there on Monday versus the Rockets, Josh Smith and Lance Stephenson, actually the last couple home games I went to, have developed this habit of shadow boxing before the tip off, you know, when they're announcing the starting lineup, but then also like on the bench.
Yeah, sure.
You know, during timeouts and stuff. Doc Rivers has the whole team around drawing up a play. You know, it was a real close game versus the Rockets. They blew a 14-point fourth quarter lead.
Of course.
A la their Game 6 breakdown. I mean, the Clippers had lost 5 straight games to the Rockets, and Josh Smith and Lance Stephenson are shadow boxing.
Is there any truth to the rumor that the winner of that game had to take Josh Smith? Is there any truth to that rumor?
Well, it would have been the loser of the game ended up with him.
That's true.
The Rockets.
Sorry, I got confused for a second.
But yeah, Smith was averaging career lows in points, shooting percentage, and minutes played. 5.9 points, shooting 38%, and only 14 minutes a game.
His first game back with Houston was just a classic, legendary Josh Smith game. 1-for-10 field goals.
Yeah.
0-for-4 from 3-point range.
They sent a private jet to go and get him, too.
0-2. So that's a waste of money.
He's a good player. Yeah. He's a good player. He would be a really good player if his shot selection were better, but that's his fatal flaw as a player, is his shot selection has never improved.
Yeah, but you're also saying that he has a shot selection. Right. He has a shot. There's no selection.
At the same time, I fully expect him to turn it on against the Clippers in the playoffs again this year. You know, it'll be just the Clippers' luck that Josh Smith only comes alive and turns into an unstoppable force.
Well, then they'll just have to throw some money at him and get him right back there.
Well, the other big news of the week is the All-Star starters were finally announced.
Oh, yeah, I knew that. I thought you were going to break something else.
Blake Griffin has played for the New York Knicks.
Yeah.
So with the All-Star game coming up, you know, one thing that comes up every year in topics of conversation around All-Star time is how to improve All-Star Saturday.
Right.
Which traditionally has the three-point contest, the dunk contest, and recently added in the past however many 10 years was the skills contest. And that whatever the hell they call it, where they have Magic Johnson and Cheryl Swoops shooting from half court.
Oh yeah,
contest.
it's like
rising shooting stars.
The old man, the WNBA, and the youngster
walk into a bar.
Yeah,
but we're gonna come up with some new suggestions for All-Star Saturday to see if we can lively up this competition. You know, a couple of years ago, they tried adding a horse competition,
right?
Which was, you know, 1 year and gone. Last year in New York during the All-Star game was also Fashion Week in New York, mm-hmm. and the All-Stars tried doing a fashion competition.
Of course.
Which I'm voting for never again. You know, never again do we want to see that with Chandler Parsons and J.R. Smith as the finalist.
Right.
I don't want to see them the finalist as any competition at All-Star Weekend.
I don't know. We might have some J.R. Smith contests for the run.
All right, Matt. Well, I've got a couple suggestions. You want to throw one out for All-Star Saturday?
You know, I'll go right with J.R. Smith. I thought we could have hoverboard races.
Nice.
I thought it would be we could either
definitely the favorite.
Yeah, it could be some. Obviously, you would put you could put some cones up, or you could do like a down and back, or like a to the free throw line back.
Nice.
Half court back, full, like some sort of hoverboard suicides.
Could we have a celebrity guest Michael J. Fox be the the judge?
He would have to be that, or crazy old Doc Brown.
The loser gets a truck full of manure dumped on him, you know?
Yes, yeah, that's perfect. That's perfect.
I hate manure.
They have to make like a tree and get out of here.
Well, that's a great competition. Who do you see in this competition besides old JR?
Oh, I don't know. That would be
some of the other Brick House All-Stars, maybe? Matt Barnes?
Yeah, that would be a
Boogie Cousins?
Yeah, he would be maybe like Anthony Bennett. I don't know. Someone.
Oh, boy.
Just someone.
Yeah, get a Canadian in
yeah,
there for
sure.
Toronto.
Sure. Sure.
Awesome. Well, you know, a couple of ideas that I've liked, I can't claim to have, you know, thought of them. But I would love to see a one-on-one tournament.
Yeah, that would be cool.
One-on-one tournament would get so much more ratings than any All-Star game.
Right.
Five-on-five. And I think that a half court would really be the way to play it. But if you were going to extend it to a full court one-on-one game, I would put everything I own on Russell Westbrook winning that.
Yeah. Or you could, instead of like a full court, you know how on some courts they have the main full court, but then they have side courts on each of the half courts. So maybe do like a modified full court.
We could have Westbrook play John Wall, and they're only allowed to take three dribbles each to get from one end of the court yeah. to the other.
Just an extreme push forward. I'm doing a motion that none of you can see. I got one contract year contest where it's just a bunch of guys in their contract year trying to fight over who can be the best and who's going to make the most money. So like Harrison Barnes, for example, would be in that this year. But then that led me into the, and this is kind of a long contest name, so bear with me, the NBA contracts will be so huge in 2 years, so here's some free money now contest. Where it's just a bunch of like mediocre to not good, not the bottom players get together and they all fight for an inflated contract that
Whoa. You know what would be funny would be like an auction with all the NBA general managers there, and they all have to bid just on the rights to have a contract year, a meeting with a contract year player at the end of the year.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We put $5 million just for a meeting, right? With Bradley Beal.
The other part of the game, Beal would be in the Harrison Barnes Bradley Beal contest. The other part of the game of that though is they would have to use the money. Uh-huh. You can't hold out. You have to use it, and otherwise you get punished in this game. So yeah, so those are. I think that would be entertaining. I would like to see a bunch of contract year players battling it out.
That's a great one. So as I said, the starters were announced for the All-Star game. And Matt and I, being basketball savants, thought we would tell you who the reserves should be. A couple of notes before we get into that about the All-Star starter votes. First of all, Kobe got the most votes of anybody.
Far and away, too.
And, you know, the controversy, I guess, with before the voting really started and the fans clearly wanted him in, was pundits saying, well, you know, if Kobe takes a spot, he's going to be taking it away from another player who's really deserving.
Yeah.
But the player that Kobe took the starting spot from this year?
Yeah.
Zaza Pachulia.
Zaza Pachulia.
Which I don't know if we've ever had two players less deserving of an All-Star vote, you know, vying for a All-Star starting position.
Yeah, how did he?
Zaza is from the country of Georgia, and
that's a state. But we'll let you go with it.
There's a pop star from there who endorsed Zaza and tried to get everyone in the country to vote for him, even the president or equivalent of what they have in the Georgian government endorsed Zaza and tried to get people to vote for him. Wyclef Jean.
Oh, really?
Took to social media trying to get votes for the big man. He ended up being only 14,000 votes away from Kawhi Leonard for getting a starting spot, despite the Kobe stuff. He had more votes than Draymond Green or Anthony Davis or Blake Griffin.
Or LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yeah.
Or...
yeah, and he's just excited to feel the love, even though he didn't make the All-Star game. Speaking of Anthony Davis, so this past summer he got a max contract, right?
Right.
Max contract extension, which was calculated using the Derrick Rose rule.
Uh-huh.
I forget. I think it was like $160 million. Somewhere,
yeah, it was
in
a
that
lot.
Vicinity, maybe 145. But it was presuming that Anthony Davis would be applicable or an applicant for the Derrick Rose rule.
Yeah.
So what he has to do to be able to get 30% of the team salary cap, essentially skipping the contract between years 4 and 7. So if he is in his first 4 years twice voted in as an All-Star starter, twice voted in as All-NBA, or once voted as the MVP,
right,
then he can get this much bigger contract. In fact, it's the difference over the 5 years of $23 million.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Last year, Kyrie Irving would have been able to get this part of this kind of a Derrick Rose deal, but just lost out to Kyle Lowry in the All-Star voting.
Yeah.
Which, you know, those All-Star votes ended up costing him in the range of $16, $17 million over the course of his contract. So Davis, with Kevin Durant returning and Kawhi Leonard playing so well, and obviously LeBron James just a permanent fixture on the All-NBA
team. Not many
teams,
spots left for him.
Unless he were voted in as a center, the likelihood of him becoming All-NBA this year is really small. Isaiah Thomas of the Boston Celtics had some suggestions on who should be in the All-Star game this year.
Yeah.
He suggested that the West team should be 5 Warriors, 5 Spurs, and Durant and Westbrook.
That's fair.
But let's get into it. Let's get into it. So let's start with the Eastern Conference, because I feel like every year there's always more competition in the West.
You want to go? Should we just? I'll read off all 7 of mine, and you can read off all 7.
Yeah.
Of yours?
Well, first let's make sure everyone knows who the starters are.
Okay.
That were voted in by the fans. The guards voted in were Kyle Lowry and Dwayne Wade. And now with the new rule changes, you can vote for 3 front court players, right, as opposed to normally, or previously you had to vote for 2 forwards and 1 center.
This isn't the 90s anymore, Bob. Centers aren't a thing.
The small ball front court players voted in by the fans were LeBron, Carmelo Anthony, and Paul George.
Right.
So that's your starting 5. Yes, let's get in to the reserves. Let's start with the guards in the East.
My guards, I had 3 more guards.
Okay.
John Wall, Reggie Jackson, and Jimmy Butler.
Reggie Jackson, wow. What are Reggie's stats on the season? You got those in front of
you? I can pull those up real quick, but he's had a pretty good season. I was looking because I needed a guard, so I was kind of looking at guards, and one I thought maybe DeRozan, but Reggie Jackson is averaging 18.9 points, 6.6 assists, and 3.7 rebounds. So those aren't huge all-star numbers, but he is improving, and I just like him. For the game, I just thought it would be great to have John Wall make the all-star team and see Reggie Jackson sitting there right next to him. Like, I can't get away from this guy. I can't get away from this guy. But if you could talk me into DeMar DeRozan for sure as a guard.
I had the same 2 guards. The way the coaches' all-star ballot works is they have 2 guard positions, 3 front court positions, and then 2 wild cards.
Yeah.
And the coaches are supposed to rank them in order of, you know, okay, who they feel is most deserving. Given that format, I put Jimmy Butler as the most deserving guard.
Right.
John Wall 2nd. And I put DeMar DeRozan as my wild card guard.
Yeah.
He beat out, there was a tough competition for guards, and I didn't even have Reggie Jackson involved. The guys he beat out this year for me, Kemba Walker.
Yeah, Walker. I thought about Walker too.
And especially just the past few games, he's really been making his legitimacy felt. Yeah. Also, Isaiah Thomas,
yeah.
of the Boston Celtics, 21.8 points.
That's crazy.
6.7 assists, over 2 threes a game, and 1.2 steals at 5'9".
Yeah.
His defense leaves a little to be desired, which is why I gave DeRozan the nod. And Kyrie Irving almost got the starting vote in the last round of vote calculation. He was ahead of Kyle Lowry, even though he's got career lows in almost all categories so far this season. But he's a good player, and normally any other year would be on the All-Star team. Who's your front court?
My front
choices?
Court, Drummond, obviously. Drummond's number 1.
Yeah, okay.
Millsap.
Yeah.
Greg Monroe and Chris Bosh.
Oh, wow. Greg Monroe made the team, huh?
16 points, just under 10 rebounds. They're not, like, frighteningly amazing stats, but I don't know. I like Monroe, and I like, compared to the rest of the guys, I think that Milwaukee, even though they're not good, I think that he
So who are
run.
They? Drummond, Millsap, Monroe?
And Chris Bosh.
Bosh, yeah. Bosh quietly is becoming this year, if he gets voted in, only the 29th player in NBA history to have 11 All-Star selections.
Wow.
Very quietly a superstar in this league.
Who do you have?
I had Drummond, Millsap, and Bosh as well, with my wild card going with a slight edge of Kevin Love over Pau Gasol, Al Horford, even Hassan Whiteside I took a look at.
I took out Love to put in Monroe, I think. Or no, Bosh maybe. Love and Gasol were right up there too.
Yeah. I mean, Love's having a bounce-back year from last year anyways. He's still the absolute sieve on defense.
Yeah.
But 17.4 points, 12.1 rebounds, and 2 threes a game. I had to give it to him. And I'm really interested to see if Tyronn Lue is going to incorporate him better into the Cleveland Cavaliers, because all this stuff about David Blatt not criticizing LeBron James in front of his teammates is all like new news that's right. coming out. But from watching the team play over the past season and a half, I thought the most obvious fault, if you were going to find one in the coach, was he just never really figured out how to use Kevin Love.
Right.
And why give $110 million to somebody to just stand in the corner and shoot threes, especially since he's a great post-up player who led the league in rebounds for so many years. But anyways, I'll give him the nod. Who are some of those players that you just barely missed out?
Well, you said them all there. Love, Gasol, Horford were the big ones, and DeRozan. That was basically who I was looking at too.
Yeah,
Kemba. Yeah,
Justice Winslow wrote a piece for the Players Tribune, campaigning for Hassan Whiteside to make it in. Basically on the fact that he averages 4 blocks a game.
Yeah, that's not a bad... I for a moment I thought maybe Whiteside, but I don't know if he's not... The stats aren't there, but I don't know if anyone would completely complain about that, but still, I don't think so.
It would be funny if we had a hack and Andre Drummond in the All-Star game. He's shooting 35% free throws this year. Let's get into the West.
So the guards in the West are Kobe and Steph Curry, obviously,
two leading vote getters, by
and
the way.
Westbrook.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Kobe is a forward.
Well, yeah. Sorry, I knew I messed that up. Curry and Westbrook, and then Kobe, Durant, and Kawhi Leonard, all very deserving. Maybe Kobe deserving is just a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yeah, but sub out Draymond for Kobe in that starting lineup, and I think you have one of the best starting lineups of all time.
Oh yeah,
All-Star game.
Yeah. So reserves for my guards, I have Harden, Lillard, and Rondo.
Wow.
And I gave
throwing a big pile of dirt in Chris Paul's face on that one.
Yeah. Well, I gave a special achievement nod to Eric Bledsoe.
Okay.
Because he is averaging 20 points, 6 assists, 4 rebounds, 26 and 4.
Yeah.
But even more so, he realized that in order for the team to get better, he had to get hurt, because as their best player, he had to take one for the team in order to allow them to try and get Ben Simmons. So just on the strength of that injury alone, I think he had all-star potential.
Wow. By that note, you should make Sam Hinkie an all-star.
I did too. What are your guards? I assume that you had Harden, Lillard, and Paul.
Lillard didn't make my team.
Oh, okay.
Lillard didn't make the team. In fact, I chose Chris Paul, James Harden begrudgingly, and Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson at 20.5 points, 42% three-point shooting, and probably top 5 perimeter defender in the league.
Yeah.
Not to mention that the Golden State Warriors are 40-4. And
right.
I thought that, you know, if anybody deserves 3 All-Stars this year, it's definitely the Warriors. It was tough, though. I had to...
on those 25 points a game that Damian Lillard is averaging.
Yeah, Damian Lillard. He's also making 3 threes a game, so that was really tough. You know who also, I know he's not going to make the All-Star team, but deserves a mention? J.J. Redick this year. I mean, not a lot of players have their best season overall at age 31.
Yeah.
But he is leading the league in three-point percentage now at almost 50%, 49.5%, 2.7 made threes a game, 61% effective field goal percentage. And anyone not named Steph Curry, I'd say he draws more defenders than anyone in the league.
Yeah.
With him running around in Doc Rivers schemes.
My quick pitch for Rondo is 11 points, 11 assists, 7 rebounds this year. He's having his best year in years, so.
That is good. That is good. And every year there's guards in the Western Conference that deserve it that are left out.
Yeah, my forwards, Draymond, obviously, Cousins, Blake, and Anthony Davis.
I got the exact same 4. Is that the order you had them in? Yeah, order of importance?
It would probably go Draymond, Cousins, Griffin, Anthony Davis. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, it's really amazing that at the beginning of the season, Anthony Davis went from, you know, future of the NBA to possibly not making the All-Star game this
right.
year.
Well, their team, I mean, their team's been one of the biggest disappointments in the league this year, so.
I was talking to Julian about DeMarcus Cousins, and we were sort of debating the possibilities of him being left off the All-Star team this year.
He better not be.
Yeah, I mean, he's having a great year. Just last night had a career-high 48 points.
Right.
He's got 26, almost 27 points, 11 rebounds a game. But as the team is not translating that into wins, although they are just, I think, in the eighth seed currently.
And he's kind of no one likes him, so there's that.
Yeah, well, that's the number one reason why he might not get voted in. Plus, there are some legacy players that he's up against. Dirk Nowitzki is having a really good season. He could always steal one of those spots. LaMarcus Aldridge, if the coaches decide that the San Antonio Spurs at 39-6 deserve more than one All-Star. Right.
The numbers aren't there, but no one on the Spurs has the numbers outside of Kawhi a little bit. So
yeah. I don't think he'll get in over Cousins because of similar personality questions, but DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah, he was on my list there. I was thinking about him.
Yeah, but my four were the same in about the same order. I think I had Anthony Davis just slightly ahead of Blake.
Yeah.
Because of his rebounds and defense.
Right.
But it's going to be awesome. And it's going to be, a couple of players that are not happy about it. Specifically Damian Lillard. He does not like to be slighted.
Nope.
But I think that just makes him stronger every year.
On the next episode of Brick House.
I don't know if you saw this, but on the next episode, I got a prediction. So
I haven't seen the next episode yet, no.
In Florida, there were some kids playing basketball on the street. And the neighbor called in a noise complaint on them, and the police showed up. And, you know, any story where you hear, like, oh, boy, police showed up, there were black children involved, what happened next?
Yeah.
The cop actually, from a dashboard cam, the video went viral, started playing basketball with the kids, even lowered the hoop and, like, dunked on it.
Really?
Yeah. And then this morning I heard that Shaq was so impressed by it that he flew to Florida and played basketball with that cop and those kids.
That's really awesome.
It is pretty cool.
Shacked and a fool.
Yeah. But, if Florida has any say in it, next week there'll probably be a cop shooting some kids playing basketball, and we'll have to send Shaq down there to sit on him.
Well, if Florida has any say in it, it's probably just going to be some kid shooting Shaq and a cop and then getting high on meth and running into an alligator pit. You can't put anything against Florida people.
Yeah, don't put anything past them. They'll never cease to surprise you.
Yeah.
Well, that's something to look forward to on the next episode.
I can't wait for that story to develop.
Until then, follow us on at BrickHousePod or email us bob@BrickHousePodcast.com or matt@BrickHousePodcast.com, and we look forward to talking to you next week.